You are listening to the Teaching Little Brains podcast with Sarah Nickaruck, episode 68. Hello, Teacher Brain. So on March 22nd, I am going to be featured in a summit amongst a panel of pretty incredible speakers and experts who are talking about strategies, tools, and support for families and children with ADHD. And I'm so excited to be part of this summit. Julia Black from Lights On will also be there, as will Dr. Shannon Irvin, my own neuro coach, and a whole bunch of other incredible speakers. And so I got to also interview the host of the summit, Laura Dawn, who is a fellow educator, friend, and client of mine. And so today I'm going to share that interview with you. And I've also linked in the show notes how you can register for this free virtual summit starting on March 21st, 2022. And it's an 8-day summit, and it's an incredible lineup of humans that are sharing tips, like I said, and strategies and expertise and knowledge and learning and experience and all kinds of things to support. I think it's applicable to everybody, every brain, every human, but it's especially helpful for anybody who has ADHD in their lives. If you have it yourself or in your classroom or in your family, this is going to be a spectacular resource for you. Like I said, it's completely free. There's also the option to upgrade to a VIP ticket, which I have done, because then you get the recordings of the interviews for a year, plus a whole bunch of bonuses that Laura will tell us about inside this interview. So I know you're going to love hearing from Laura, and click the link in the show notes to register for this event and enjoy. Today, we get to learn a little bit more about the founder and creator of the ADHD Village and the host of this incredible summit herself, Laura Dawn. I'm so truly honored and delighted to be able to interview you for this, Laura. Thank you so much for acquiescing my request. I just think that like what you're doing is so important and so beneficial to all kinds of families, not only, but especially those that are living with ADHD in their homes.
Aw, thank you, Sarah, for that warm introduction. I'm so thankful, Sarah, that you are a part of the ADHD Village. And your interview for this summit, Unlocking the Secrets of the Subconscious Mind, was absolutely fabulous and really lays the foundation for a lot of the work that I do with families. Your interview was really well received. There was lots of positive feedback. Parents, if you haven't yet watched Sarah's interview, I highly recommend it. Sarah, for those of you who don't know, is the host of the Teaching Little Brains podcast. She's a master neuro coach and the creator of the brain-based, science-backed transformational coaching technique, the Accelerated Transformation Method.
It's been a pleasure to be part of this. Like I said, I just find it so important and so beneficial. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the ADHD Village itself, and like, what is it, how it came to be? How did you get here?
So it's so funny. Whenever somebody asks me about myself, my first natural instinct is to always say, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach. And I always forget about me as a human. So I'm going to start with that.
Oh my goodness, you are so right. We do that so often and so much. Yeah, let's hear about you as a human.
So I am somebody who absolutely loves nature. I love to be outside. I love riding my bike and skiing and swimming. And most of all, I love to spend time with my family. And I love to help others. And I've always been fascinated with how humans develop. And that's what led me to my first degree in psychology and then my second degree in education. I have been teaching now for 22 years, and 10 of those years, I was a special education resource teacher. So I had lots of training and experience with ADHD and children with special needs. But it was totally different when those children were my own sons with ADHD and anxiety. And simple tasks like taking my kids to the park, they were completely overwhelming for me when my kids were little. Like just going to the park, I knew there would be meltdowns and aggressive behavior and my feelings of embarrassment and my thoughts like that other parents were judging me and thinking to myself, well, I'm a special ed teacher. Why can't I help my own children to behave? I had feelings like I wasn't enough and I felt so sad that things were hard for my kids. And even though I did have a whole village of support in place, I had grandparents to support, a pediatrician that we love, psychologist, psychiatrist, naturopath, speech therapist, occupational therapist, CYC support at school, behavior therapist, amazing teachers on board. So we were surrounded by support, but even though I still felt like I wasn't doing enough, and I just came to settle in with the belief that my kids have ADHD, therefore my life is simply going to be hard. Period. The end. That's all there is to it. And my own mood seemed to be really dependent on theirs. So if they were having a good day, then it was like I allowed myself to relax and be happy. But if they were struggling and miserable, then my mood reflected that. And I was struggling and miserable too. And I know that children don't benefit from having a mom who's struggling and miserable. So those feelings weren't serving me. They weren't serving my kids, wasn't serving anybody. Then I started working with a life coach. And that's when things changed for me. So my big aha was really learning that I didn't have to believe my thoughts.
Yeah, that one for me was huge. Yeah, that was huge. I totally, resonate with that big time.
Yeah, 90% of our thoughts are automatic and negative, and they happen without our consent or our conscious awareness. So why would we want to believe those things? So I often had the thought, I'm doing a terrible job as a mom. And when I had that thought, I felt terrible and crappy. So when you feel terrible and crappy, of course, you're not being the best parent that you can be. So working with my coach, and Sarah, you have been one of my beloved coaches, I was able to learn to really look at my thinking and decide if my thoughts were worth keeping or not. And it's not quite as easy as just swapping out your thoughts, although I love Sarah. your analogy of trying on a new outfit. Do you mind telling us about that? I love it. It's so good.
Yeah. I invite people to try something on. So sometimes it feels awkward. Like you might get a new sweater and it's like itchy and the size feels strange because it's something new. It's a different style than you're used to, but you have to wear it around a bit to like work it in, or shoes are a good one. We all relate to that. And like sometimes we were so attached to our old comfy clothes, our old comfy thoughts, that we hesitate to try something new. But when we kind of wear them around a bit, we get to see like, oh, this feels good. Yeah, you know what? I do kind of like this. We got to give it a chance. But yeah, I love that analogy too, because it helps me just kind of play in my brain. Because like you said, I had no idea I could choose my thoughts. I didn't know they were a choice. I didn't know I was choosing. And then I could choose differently. So that really helped me. I love analogies, as you know, so that really helped me.
Yeah. So that was a huge awakening for me to realize that I could choose my thoughts, and that thoughts are what create our feelings, and our feelings drive our actions. So here's an example. Maybe parents, you can relate to this. So I remember when my kids were little, picking them up from school and picking my son up and seeing him having a conflict on the playground, maybe pushing or hitting or some sort of hands-on experience. So can you imagine seeing your child in that kind of conflict? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? So for me, I just imagining that in my brain, I can feel my cheeks getting hot. I can feel my heart beating faster. I can actually feel my shoulders like tensing. I can feel my body tensing up. So when I'm feeling that in my body, I recognize that maybe I'm feeling embarrassed or dread. So So it's not what's happening on the playground. It's not the fact that my child's having a confrontation that is causing me to feel that way. It's my thought. So I could have had the thought, oh no, here we go again, another fight. And that's going to cause me to feel dread. Or I may have the thought, oh, I'm sure you can relate to this, parents. Oh, all the parents are watching. They're judging me. They're judging my kid. And that thought is going to cause me to feel embarrassed. Or maybe the thought is, oh, I hope nobody gets hurt. If my child hurts the other child, then there's going to be big trouble. And that could cause me to feel fearful. So thoughts are happening a fraction of a second before the feeling. So when we're self-aware, we can catch these thoughts. And Sarah, in your interview, you call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. We can catch them and maybe try on a new outfit. So you can imagine approaching the situation. If you're feeling embarrassed or dread or fear, you don't want those feelings to be driving your actions and your parenting, because those feelings are what creates yelling and punishment and giving consequences. And the consequence of that type of behavior or those actions is that your child's needs aren't being met. Their behavior most likely will escalate. They may feel ashamed of themselves. Your relationship is disconnected. And then you usually feel really terrible about yourself. So this is where coaching helps. Sarah, you have helped me so much with this and with my own transformation, and I'm eternally grateful. A coach can help you notice your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, so that you can approach a situation like this consciously choosing your thoughts and feelings rather than letting that automation run and decide for you.
It's almost like going back to the clothes analogy. It's like going into the store and having a salesperson help you choose something that might be out of your current comfort zone because she knows that it would really suit you. And you, it's like nice and stylish and it's something you might not normally wear, but it actually suits you better than what you've been wearing before. Mm. And like, then you try it on and you realize this actually does feel better. This fits nicer. Like I see it now. And so, yeah, just playing with that analogy, that's kind of what a coach or a mentor, whatever you want to call it, does.
Yeah.
For you.
So my old comfy clothes would be to, you know, have those feelings of dread and embarrassment and fear based on my old thoughts. But here's a new thought. I could think my child is having a hard time. And that's going to create the feeling of empathy. Or I could have the thought, something has triggered this behavior. I wonder what my child is trying to communicate. And that's going to create the feeling of curiosity. And you can see how empathy and curiosity would drive actions such as validating your child's feelings, offering a hug, offering a drink of water, helping your child co-regulate and feel safe before any problem solving can even happen.
Mm-hmm. And the impact on your body, the difference between guilt and shame and judgment and self-guilt and self-shame and self-judgment and possibly anger and defensiveness versus empathy and curiosity and the space it puts you in.
And I'm so fascinated that, you know, the experts in this summit, I handpicked them. They're experts in different fields and all over the world. There's, you know, people from Canada like us in the United States. We have speakers in England, Australia, New Zealand. And it's so fascinating that no matter where we are in the world or what our different backgrounds are, a lot of the messaging is the same. And one of the key messages is that self-care component. The physical self-care for our brains, making sure that we have the right fuel, nutrition, and hydration, making sure we're getting enough sleep, making sure that we're getting oxygen to our brains with some intentional breathing, and making sure that we're exercising and moving our bodies, like just the basics. We need to do that for ourselves so that we're able to take care of our kids. When we take care of ourselves, we're better able to take care of our kids. And that was such a key learning for me. As a young mom, I didn't have a clue what self-care was. Yes. I thought self-care meant like you go out with your girlfriends to the spa or something. I really didn't understand that self-care could be as simple as when I stop at a red light, I'm going to be mindful and take a mindful deep breath. Self-care could just be noticing my feelings. I actually noticed a pretty fun feeling this morning. I messaged you. I was panic. I thought my computer crashed. And just taking the time to notice and recognize what those feelings feel like in your body. And once I was able to do that through help from Sarah, you as my coach, I became calm and confident in my parenting. And the ripple effect in my family was beautiful. My kids became more regulated. So by working on myself, my children became more regulated. Their relationship with each other has improved. Less fighting, significantly less fighting between the two of them. I feel more more connected and closer with my kids. Even my relationship with my husband has strengthened. So when this happened for me, I felt like I discovered the best secret. I felt like I won like the life lottery. And I wanted to share this message with other moms who are struggling. And so the ADHD Village was born.
And I love that you talked about the ripple effect, because that's like really, self-care has gotten a bad rap. Mm-hmm. But really, 100% of the time in my experience with my clients and my programs, when the mothers, I'm going to speak about mothers, I mean parents, but like I work mostly with mothers and educators, but then they're like kind of the nucleus, right? The leader of their family. And once they are, the ripple effect, like you mentioned, what happens once they feel whole, fulfilled, taken care of by themselves, and, you know, in a good place mentally and emotionally, like you said, like managing our thoughts, being aware of them. And I don't mean managing by stopping, but being aware and allowing and compassionate about those things, what shifts in their family, just what you described. It's incredible. And you specifically are talking to parents of kids with ADHD, or maybe the parents have it as well themselves. But like, this really does apply. Like, I think every parent can remember a time when they, in their own minds, felt judged for or perceived judgment from another parent or other people, and were worried about their children's behavior and their mental wellness and their physical wellness. Like every parent worries about their kids and themselves, what it means about them as a parent and their parenting. And so this is so applicable to everybody. But could you tell us a little bit about why this is so important for brains with ADHD? What's different about the brains with ADHD as compared to like a neurotypical brain, as we call it? All right, teacher brain, I'm just interrupting here for a second because I actually got Lara to send some information afterwards. I realized I hadn't asked her about the difference, like what's happening inside a brain with ADHD. And I wanted to include that here for your information. And the way that she always gives such great examples and really explains things so clearly. And so I wanted to add that in. So the following little part is really recorded after Lara sent me a voice recording, and I've put it in here. So just in case you're feeling this is disjointed, what happened to their sort of back and forth, that's what it is. I just wanted to let you know, full disclosure, what's going on here. So Lara is going to explain a little bit about the difference between a neurotypical brain and a brain with ADHD. And I think you'll find it really informative. She puts it in a way that I had never heard before. And so, take it away, Lara.
ADHD is often misunderstood by the general public. This misunderstanding can have a serious impact on a child living with ADHD. They are not lazy or stupid or slow or bad. ADHD is not a result of poor parenting. ADHD is a brain difference. ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is a neurological disorder. The name is somewhat deceiving. People with ADHD really do not have a deficit of attention. They seem to have an abundance of attention.
Mm, an abundance of attention. I've never heard it put like that. That's interesting. Yeah. Can you tell us more about that?
So if you could imagine a child sitting in a classroom while they're listening to their teacher and paying attention to the teacher, they are also noticing other things with the same amount of intensity and attention. For example, the student in front of them that's wiggling their feet, that student behind them who's clicking their pen, some noise that's happening in the hall, the ceiling fan, a bird that flew by the window. All of those things are getting the equal amount of attention. So you can imagine how hard it is for that child to focus solely on what the teacher is saying.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I can't believe I've never heard it explained like that before.
Also, kids with ADHD have the ability to focus on things that are of high interest for them for exceptionally long periods of time. This is called hyperfocus. So this is why sometimes parents will say, well, my child can't have ADHD because they can pay attention to their video games or their Lego for hours. So this can really be a gift because when they're interested in learning about something, they have the ability to pay attention and focus for a very long time. Hyperactivity is also misleading because some people who have ADHD may have the inattentive type, meaning they are not hyperactive. Their mind might be hyperactive, but you don't see that in their behaviors. So this might be a child in the class who is daydreaming. And even the word disorder can be icky.
Yes, I totally agree. I feel like when we say disorder, then we're trying to make everybody fit into one box. And then those who don't fit into that box, we try to force them into the box or there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, the word difference is so much more helpful. And I love the word difference because it opens up a different perspective rather than disorder. And Sarah, I know a lot of the work that you do has to do with how your thinking creates your emotions, which drives your actions. So the way we think about ADHD really impacts how we feel and how we act towards ADHD.
Yes, so true. Sometimes we don't even notice because it's so subtle, but even that tiny little tweak to our language can change everything and make a big impact. Thank you for that reminder.
Stuart Shanker says, see a child differently, see a different child.
Ooh, I love that. Good one, Stuart Shanker. Can you say that again, Laura?
See a child differently, see a different child.
So good. So what are some of the ways that we can see a child differently to see a different child?
So you may look at the ADHD trait of being easily distracted. And if you would like to look at that in a different way, you could think that child is naturally curious. Or the child that doesn't follow instructions, they're the innovators. A child who is easily bored, that's a child who thrives in highly stimulating environments. When they grow up, maybe they'll be a firefighter or a detective or an ER surgeon.
Oh, I love that. And yes, please. I would like a surgeon who's hyper-focused on the task that they're doing and who thrives in highly stimulating environments. Absolutely.
Time blindness. These kids live in the now or not now, but on the flip side, they can accomplish a lot in a short amount of time. They may blurt things out. And on the other side of that is they're very honest. You can think of them as hyper, or a different way of looking at that is high energy. And rather than thinking of them as impulsive, you can think of them as fearless, comfortable with the unknown. So changing the lens in which we look at ADHD changes our feelings towards it. So we may be feeling overwhelmed or stressed that our child has ADHD, but by changing our mindset, we can have a much more positive outlook. And in fact, there are some people who believe that ADHD can be a superpower, and it really can be once you learn how to put strategies in place to help with the symptoms of ADHD. There's also some people who believe that ADHD brains are more evolved.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was thinking as you were describing, you know, what we could rethink, unlearn and relearn about ADHD and those who have it is that, you know, these don't really, doesn't really sound like a deficit at all. It does kind of sound more like a superpower.
And I love that idea because people with ADHD are so creative. They're the out of the box thinkers. They're the risk takers. We need these people because they're leaders, they're entrepreneurs, they're artists. Dr. Edward Hallowell describes the ADHD brain as a person having the power of a Ferrari engine, but with bicycle brakes. Problems are caused by the mismatching of the powerful engine with the weak brakes. When you learn how to strengthen your brakes, ADHD can be a superpower. So these brakes are required for impulse control. They're required for emotional and self-regulation. There's a part of the ADHD brain that is very different than a neurotypical brain. The ADHD brain has a glitchy attention switch. So if you can imagine your brain has two little, imagine like light switches side by side. And when one switch is turned on, the other one is turned off. So one of the switches is for the task positive network. When this switch is turned on, your brain engages in on-task behaviors. This is when you can do your homework and pay attention to school. The other switch, when that one is turned on, this is the default mode network. When that DMN or default mode network switch is turned on, that allows your brain to relax and daydream. So in a neurotypical brain, these switches are not on at the same time. While one is on, the other is off. But in an ADHD brain, while the task positive network is on, the default mode network is also on. So there's two switches on at the same time. One switch that is giving the brain the message to focus and stay on task, and the other switch is giving the brain the message to daydream. So you can imagine how difficult it is for an ADHD brain to stay on task when there is a switch on that literally says it's time to daydream. This can cause people with ADHD to be very frustrated. They have more feelings of failure, embarrassment, shame, and negative and critical thoughts. People with ADHD do have a lot of critical thoughts about themselves, and it's no wonder why. By the age of 12, a child with ADHD receives 10,000 more negative comments than a neurotypical peer. Imagine how that impacts their beliefs about themselves. And a lot of these negative comments are coming from teachers and parents, and we mean well. We really do mean well. And a lot of this, you know, we're doing subconsciously. We're doing it without really being aware of the impact. You know, sit still. Can you be quiet? Can you keep your hands to yourself? Why is your room such a mess? Why did you forget your lunch again? Like all these negatives. And then the kids are often having, you know, more conflicts at recess, or maybe they look different or things like that. So their peers at school are also giving them a lot of negative feedback. So you can imagine how hard that is on a child. Another significant difference in the ADHD brain is that there is an imbalance of dopamine and adrenaline. These are required for attention, memory, reward, planning, and motivation. So in a neurotypical brain, our brains are getting dopamine and adrenaline, and that is going to the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is where all the executive functioning skills happen. So this is the part of the brain that we use for problem solving, seeing another person's point of view, assessing risk,
deciding whether or not to say something to a friend, planning, time management, organizing your homework. All of these things happen in the prefrontal cortex. And in the ADHD brain, these brains are not getting enough dopamine and adrenaline to the part of their brain required for executive functioning skills. This is why individuals who take ADHD stimulant medication, this activates the dopamine and adrenaline centers of the brain so that they're able to better use their executive functioning skills. Now, there's also natural ways to boost up dopamine. And I know, Sarah, you often talk about how important celebration is for the brain. When we celebrate, there's all sorts of amazing feel-good neurotransmitters, including dopamine, that are released into our bloodstream. And when dopamine is released in the ADHD brain, that helps to access the executive functioning. So when your ADHD child brings their dirty dish to the sink and you only have to ask them one time, celebrate with them. When they put their laundry in the laundry basket, celebrate. When they get one homework question done, celebrate. Celebrate as much as you can with them because you're giving their brain a boost of dopamine. There's a really fun way that you can boost up their adrenaline, and that's through adrenaline play. So any kind of play activity that involves chase, like tag, manhunt, hide and seek, playing music and the kids have to freeze and you walk around and try to see if they move. And if they move, you're going to tickle them. All those kinds of play activities, wrestling and boxing, as long as there's rules in place so nobody gets hurt, that gets the adrenaline flowing. And again, that helps to activate the prefrontal cortex so the kids can access their executive functioning skills. A great time to do adrenaline play with your kids is after school. Usually by that time, if they are taking medication, the medication's starting to wear off. So that's a good time to do the adrenaline play. You also don't want to do adrenaline play too close to bedtime.
All right. So that was awesome. I don't know what you got from that, your biggest aha from that, but I did not understand about the attention, them paying attention to everything at once, and then flipping things into superpowers instead of seeing them as deficits, just differences, or maybe even evolutions of the brain. And then also the adrenaline play. And she mentioned the task positive network and the default mode network, which makes so much sense. I've done an episode before on the default mode network. You can go back and listen to that one. But our default mode network in our brain, not only does it kick in when we relax, as Laura said, but it also defaults to negative. So that makes so much sense in terms of the negative self-image that kids with ADHD have, on top of all the negative comments. That was shocking, the number of negative comments they get up to between 0 and 12 years old. And then add on to that the default mode network that defaults you into negativity anyway. Like, just wow. So that was really insightful. I hope you found that informative and helpful as well. Let's continue. What is your vision for the village and your coaching and your work? Because now you're doing some, not just this incredible, amazing summit, but you do coaching. You have a coaching program now where you're supporting families and they're seeing these benefits as well. And what is your vision for that and your family too?
So my vision is to support as many children with ADHD as possible. I firmly believe that kids with ADHD will grow to be valuable members of our world. These are the leaders. These are the people who think outside the box. They're risk takers. They're creative. They're generous. They're funny. And in order for these kids to reach their full potential, we need to first treat the challenging parts of ADHD. And the number one way, and I know this from my own personal experience, and I know this from research, and I know this from my working with my clients, the number one way to support kids is by supporting their parents. Parents are the architect of their kids' brains. Parents are raising like our future generation.
So a first step for parents is to find support in our online Facebook community, the ADHD Village. And I hope that many of you are already a part of the village. When you join the village, you are surrounded by parents just like you who are committed to helping their children thrive with ADHD. Parents take a lot of comfort knowing that they are not alone. Like, you are surrounded by parents who really get it. And that's something I hear from a lot of parents is, you know, their friends and their peers might not understand what they're going through because their children aren't neurodiverse. So just that piece alone, feeling like you're not alone and you're surrounded by people who really get it, is so helpful. And inside the ADHD Village, not only are there parents who really get it, there's all sorts of professionals in our group too. We have a meditation and breathwork coach who comes in and does some live trainings, Andrea Baker. She was one of the speakers on this summit. Sarah, you're in the ADHD Village. There's therapists, there's other coaches, there's psychologists. So when you post one of your questions or concerns in the village, you're going to have all sorts of people responding to you and supporting you and offering some advice. I also kind of watch what's going on in the group, and I try to do a live once or twice a week. And it's the live is like a little mini coaching session where I'm addressing the hot topics that are coming up in the group. And in the village, we have a saying, find your people and love them hard. And you really feel the love from your people in the ADHD Village. The ADHD Village Facebook group is free. The summit is free. And I offer a challenge. It's a 5-day challenge for parents called How Not to Lose Your Cool, Especially When Your Kids Do. That is also offered for free. So the idea really is to get the tools and strategies in the hands of as many families as possible. And then for those of you who wish to work with me more closely and really get some long-lasting transformation, I do offer, as you mentioned, I offer private coaching, but I also offer, this is my passion, it's a group coaching program called the ADHD Warrior Mama. And in this program, I support moms in learning how to eliminate stress while navigating their children's ADHD so that they're calm, confident, and deeply connected to their children. Through the program, parents learn tools to help their children to embrace their ADHD and feel empowered so that they can control their emotions and behaviors. And the nice thing about this program, again, is you're surrounded by like-minded parents. You have an opportunity to connect with those parents, work on your goals and strategies together. Yeah, so it's a fabulous program.
Yeah, it really is. I've been in there. It's amazing. And first of all, completely agree. It takes a village. It's brilliant. And the love you do feel in there is incredible. So what are you, so in your Warriors program, for example, what are some of the shifts that you've noticed that your members and clients have experienced within that group? Like, have there been big aha moments, maybe for you and, or your clients in there?
So I love this question. So the beautiful thing is that parents will often want me to help them fix their child's behaviors. And kids with ADHD have behaviors that can get them into trouble, you know, not following instructions, physical aggression, arguing, all the things. And I can share all sorts of fabulous tools and techniques with parents and strategies that really work. But you can also go on Google or YouTube or read a parenting or ADHD book to get those strategies as well. So some of these strategies work beautifully for some people, but not for everyone. And I have discovered the reason why. So I can give the same strategy to 10 different moms, and each of them will implement the strategy differently depending on what's going on inside of them. Mm-hmm. So Dr. L talks about the top-down, inside-out approach. So starting from the top, our brains. So like we talked about earlier, making sure your basic physical needs are met with your fuel, your oxygen, your mindful breathing, sleep, exercise, and then also your beliefs and your thoughts. So here's an example. Imagine it's Thanksgiving and you're given a recipe to cook a turkey. So I can give the exact same recipe to 10 different people. And one mom may think, oh, I'm so excited to cook my first turkey, and her turkey turns out delicious. And another mom may think, holy crap, I have to cook a turkey. I don't have time for that. and her turkey doesn't turn out so well. Another mom might be totally sleep deprived. Her turkey might not turn out so well. So you can be given the same strategies or the same recipe, but it really depends on what's going on inside the mom. And Julia Black refers to that, to this as lights on. And like you mentioned earlier, when the mom is feeling fulfilled and their needs are met and their self-care has been met, then they're able to use those strategies, implement those strategies, and really make them work.
Yeah, I think we all, I don't, maybe this isn't 100% of people, but I feel like a lot of people have experienced like hanger before, right? You know how you show up when you're hangry. And we're grown adults with a fully developed brain. So even just that effect on a not quite yet developed prefrontal cortex where they can think about their thinking. And now their emotions, you know, emotions are high and intelligence is low. And yeah, that's exactly right. If your thinking is not, and your feelings aren't, I want to say in order, but like you said, in the place where the strategy will work, any, like, just like you're saying, there are billions of strategies out there. Any of them will work for you if you pick one, if you're in the right mind frame and emotional state.
So in the program, we work on inside the mom first, physical, mental well-being, mindset. We start to rewire new beliefs into their brains. And then the ripple out effect on the family is amazing. So after 6 weeks in the program, I asked the moms to share what they're experiencing. And they all agree, for one, they all agree that they have a feeling of community and they're not alone. They feel more calm. They're less reactive. There's less yelling in their family. They are getting curious about their kids' behaviors rather than jumping to being furious. Their kids are having less episodes of frustration and anger. Moms are noticing that their children are displaying some positive behaviors and strengths, and they're celebrating those with their kids, which is encouraging more of those positive moments. And their kids are actually noticing that their moms are happier and calmer. So that's where the magic really happens. The whole family feels the impact when you start working with the mom, because the mom really is the captain of the ship. So if mom is drowning in overwhelm and chaos, the whole ship is going to go down. But once we can take care of mom, she's more aware of herself. She can step into her power then and take control of the ship, and it can be smooth sailing for the whole family.
Yeah, that's amazing. And not to discount dads, yeah, but there is definitely something, you know, there's physiological, energetic, cellular connections between moms and their kids. And so that's when magic, like you said, the magic happens when the mom is glowing and lights on, and then the kids just, it just happens. And it's funny that you talk about that and with the brain science, because, you know, feeling connected, as you know, is one, like, that's what our brain is seeking all the time.
Yeah. And one of the simplest ways to help your child feel connected is in those moments when they are struggling, just if you can take a breath and just bring some calm and look deeply into your child's eyes and let them know, like, you are okay. You are safe. I get you're feeling really frustrated right now, and really, you know, validating what they're going through, listening deeply. And when that happens, beautiful oxytocin starts, you know, flowing through their brains. It's released into every cell of their body. And when that happens, they're instantly calming down. And also when oxytocin starts flowing, the stress hormone cortisol is blocked. So you're not able to be releasing that stress feeling at the same time as you're feeling that connection and love. So such a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that you mentioned not to discount dads, because dads obviously are a very important part too of raising their kids. And we want dads on board as well. But the work that I do, you know, I'm working with moms mostly, but dads are welcome to join in and be a warrior dad if they'd like to be.
I mean, it's better. I mean, to have more, the more people that are, you know, in alignment, the better, right? The results.
But I find it just takes one person to shift, because a lot of moms will say, what if my husband's not on the same page as me? And it really just takes one person to make that ripple effect to start shifting the whole family.
Yes. And isn't that what you were saying? Like looking your child in the eyes and saying like, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I've got you. Don't we just want that too? Like, really, isn't that what we missed out on maybe, or, you know, we're craving when we feel angry or frustrated or judged? Like, we just want someone to see us and connect with us and say those things like, you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I've got you. I see you. I hear you.
And I have to say, my mom is really good at that, but I feel myself spinning. She will, and I can hear her voice in my head because she's done it so much. It's okay. Everything's okay. She tells my kids it's okay. Like, sometimes that's what we need. Mm-hmm. And this works with your spouse too. When you see your spouse is getting upset, just look at them and say, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just share your calm, help them co-regulate.
Calm is contagious. Yes. So Laura, can you tell us please a little bit about this Calm the ADHD Family Summit that's launching in just a few weeks?
I am so excited to share this valuable resource with you. This resource is filled with science-backed, brain-based strategies that will make life easier for you, your ADHD child, and your whole family. Tickets are complimentary for an 8-day event, Calming the ADHD Family, Brain Hacks for a Calm, Confident, Connected Family. It will be available March 21st to 28th. This free event is a video series that's packed with tools, strategies, and free gifts from top experts in the field of ADHD, parenting, and education, including yourself, Sarah. Your interview topic is Unlocking the Secrets of the Subconscious Mind, and your interview really is the foundation of the ADHD Warrior Mama program. So I really hope that your listeners are able to watch your interview. I highly recommend this summit as a resource for any parent who's searching for solutions for the challenges that come with raising a child with ADHD. I have handpicked over 35 experts to be a part of this summit. So you're going to want to mark your calendars, March 21st to 28th. It's 8 days. And all of the experts are also offering free gifts. There's all sorts of amazing, amazing gifts being offered.
The strategies and the tips that these experts share and that Laura shares herself are, everybody can use these.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, thank you for saying that. You're right. Because I mean, all kids are learning about how to deal with their emotions and, and their behaviors. So and parents are struggling whether your child has ADHD or not.
So right. And why not get, if we, you know, even if we don't have kids with ADHD or we don't have them in our classroom, which is odd these days, but it gives us some more insight and empathy and sympathy into, you know, what it's like to have that in our homes and our classrooms. So, you know, it just helps everybody.
Can I share some of the topics that will be in the summit?
Yes, okay. Please.
How to motivate your child, big feelings, how to teach your child to manage their emotions, fostering executive functioning skills. So, you know, time management, organization, all that good stuff, the higher level thinking skills at home and at school, how to build a relationship with your child to weather any storm, 5 simple proven ways to beat overwhelm. Oh, this is one of my favorites. How to use video game dynamics to parent your gamer. There's meditation and breath work to calm your nervous system. Your interview, Sarah, Unlocking the Secrets of the Subconscious Mind. ADHD in girls and how to advocate in education. Building resilience through empowerment, connection, and safety, procrastination and productivity, and teens, how to get it done now. Yeah. So there's so many great, great topics.
Who are some of the experts, Laura, that are coming in, that are in the summit?
Okay, so I'm so excited to have Dr. Edward Hallowell. He's like one of the leading experts in the world for ADHD. He's a psychiatrist, an author of many books, including my favorite, ADHD 2.0. Elaine Taylor Klaus, also very well known in the ADHD world. Leslie Jozel, and she's from Order Out of Chaos. Aaron Huey, he's the one who gives the talk about video game dynamics. Jennifer Colleri, another one of my absolute favorites. She is the author of Connected Parenting. Suzanne Tucker. Suzanne is so good at teaching your little ones about how to understand their emotions. Mm-hmm. Kelly Biltz. She's a teen expert, and she talks to us about how you can help your teens create a dopamine menu. There's Stephanie Pinto from Let's Raise Emotionally Intelligent Kids. Julia Black, who teaches moms how to get their lights on.
We know
Dr.
her.
Shannon Irvin. It goes on and on and
we
on.
We know her too. Amazing. Wow. What a lineup.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible, Laura. Okay. So how do people join? What do we do?
Okay. So just go to www.calmingtheadhdfamily.com and you'll type in your name and your email and that's it. Then you're registered. You can be a part of the summit. It will give you a prompt after that if you'd like to purchase the VIP All Access Pass. So what will happen is once you register for the summit, each day between March 21st and March 28th, you will receive an email that's sent directly to your inbox. So you're going to want to make sure that you whitelist Laura Dawn so that my emails aren't going to your junk box. And that's so each day you're going to get an email that has the interviews from the experts plus a link to access all their free gifts. So once you've registered, you'll be prompted then to purchase the VIP All Access Pass. So that access pass gives you access to these interviews for 1 year. Otherwise, you get them for free for 24 hours. And each 24 hours, there's new interviews being released. Also part of the VIP All Access Pass, you get an action workbook, which really helps you take what you're learning, the knowledge you're collecting, and it helps you transform that into action and experience so that you can make what you're learning more meaningful. And this is my favorite part. As a bonus, if you purchase the VIP All Access Pass before or during the summit, you will be gifted the 21-day baddest challenge for kids.
Ooh, that was a good, I would say for families, because we did it in our house and it was fun for all of us. And we learned a lot. And what we had at the end, I mean, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You're probably going to tell us, but you tell us, because what we had at the end was like invaluable.
Oh, thank you for sharing. Yeah, it was such a pleasure to have your family be a part of this. Yeah, so it's 21 days where, again, you're receiving an email with videos and links of ways to help your child understand and navigate their emotions and their thoughts and gives them some strategies, you know, like understanding another person's perspective or understanding what to do when anger comes into their body. Understanding the benefits of celebration and teaching kids how to celebrate.
Yes, super important for our brains for sure. And it was super engaging because every day we got to create something that went into like our toolbox and we actually got to like pick the toolbox. So
thank you. Yeah. So yeah, the goal is at the end of the 21 days, you have a toolbox full of tools.
Yeah, like things that remind you, oh yeah, that's right. Gug is telling me things that I may not need to hear right now. I will put the links to all of those things in the show notes so that people can register for this free 8-day summit that I can't even believe this is free, first of all, because what you just said about the topics that are and the caliber of the speakers, like, wow. And I'll definitely have my VIP ticket because I always like to watch things again because I always miss stuff the first time and I don't want to miss anything that these people have to say. So thank you. That's a great offer for that. So I will put all the links to everything in the show notes so that people can easily find you and find the summit.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
We could talk all day. I know that people don't have all day to watch us, whatever. But if, how can people connect with you if they want to get to know more about you and join the village or become a warrior mama?
Okay. So, first of all, connect with me on Facebook, the ADHD Village, and join the Facebook group. If you haven't already done so, you can send me a personal message through Facebook Messenger. I'm Laura Dawn on Facebook, or you can email me coachlaura@theadhdvillage.com. I'm also offering a masterclass on Wednesday, March 30th. So I hope you can join me for that. And if you're a part of the summit, I will send an email directly to your inbox that gives you some details on how to join that masterclass. I'm also offering a 5-day challenge, how not to lose your cool, especially when your kids do. That will be April 25th and to 29th. And this challenge is for you if you're yelling more than you would like to. If you are triggered by your child's behavior, maybe they're disrespectful or fighting or lying, maybe they've got some issues with too much screen time. If you're exhausted and you don't have the energy to keep up with the daily battles, and if you've tried all the strategies and nothing seems to work, then this challenge is for you. And by the end of the 5 days, you will have a better understanding of your child's ADHD brain and what is at the root of their behavior. You'll have tools to tame your triggers so that you can keep your cool even when your kids don't. And you'll gain the power to cool down escalations before they get too hot.
That's amazing. Okay. So you're offering so much incredible value. Like, this is like, that just sets people up for success right there.
After that, in June, I'll be opening up more spaces. Right now, the ADHD Warrior Mama program is full. I do like to keep the groups relatively small so that we have that really like nice community feel, and so that everybody in the group is getting the attention that they need. But I will be opening up another program starting in June for the ADHD Warrior Mama.
Okay, Laura, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you today. It's been just, it's always a pleasure and delight to talk to you. And I always learn new things, and you really are like, just, you're really going for it. And it's so inspiring. And what you're sharing is so important. Like I said, like, I find it helpful for my family, and we don't have ADHD in our home, maybe. but I imagine, like, oh my gosh, it's so helpful. And I've met and talked to some of the moms inside the Warrior Mamas program, and I know that you're helping them so much. And I thank you so much for allowing me to interview you today.
And thank you, Sarah. You've been such an inspiration to me, and the ADHD Village wouldn't be where it is today without your support, your guidance, your coaching. So thank you, Sarah, for everything that you have done behind the scenes to get the ADHD Village up and running.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and honestly. All right. So I hope that you were able to gain some value from this episode alone. I know I have already gone back and listened to it and taken some notes. I highly encourage you to register for Laura's summit. It's called Calming the ADHD Family. And it starts March 21st, 2022. It's going to run for 8 days. It's free, just like Laura said. There is an option to buy the VIP ticket, which gives you recorded access, or access to the recordings of all the interviews for a year. Plus, there are some bonuses in there that Laura mentioned. So the links are in the show notes. But the event is completely free. If you attend the free version, you'll be able to watch the interviews for 24 hours. I believe she's got 5 speakers a day, so it's really jam-packed full of value and so many great insights, like we mentioned. So thank you so much for joining Laura and me today. You have been listening to the Teaching Little Brains podcast with Sarah Nikoruk and Coach Laura Dawn. Until next time, try what Stuart Shanker recommends and see a child differently to see a different child. Practice some self-care. Remember to celebrate. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.